morning and welcome to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977. We always like to thank John and everybody here at the station for working to make this show happen. John, how you doing?
Well, the weather's getting better, and it's been eventful.
It has been eventful. There's been, sometimes I do a national news story for the Tri-Cities, and I'm going to skip it for this week. There were just some events we'll let the professionals handle and call it good at that. We also have in the studio with us Mr. Mike Denslow with HomeStreet Bank, our in-house lending specialist. Mike, how have you been?
Been great. It's been busy. Lots of people out there swarming around houses, and even came into your office last weekend to meet with some clients moving here from out of town, and only had a couple days. So it's been awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been busy, and this weather's been amazing. I mean, we've gotten some really, really good days. And the market is really hopping right now. We're also seeing some of this late spring, early summer type inventory hit the market. And as all those new houses are hitting, they're getting gobbled up by all these buyers we talked about the last couple months. So, yeah, it's been really, really busy. We always like to kind of jump in with a crazy national house story. And this one kind of piqued my interest because sometimes people will throw some things into a house to entice people to purchase it. You might see a riding lawnmower included, or you might see extra garage shelving or cabinets included. But this particular story out of Florida is really interesting because it has a 19th century high chair that was once used by John Kennedy Jr., thrown into the price of its $1.15 million condo in Palm Beach. So that's a little sweetener to a two-bedroom, two-bath beach pad that is actually, presidentially, only a couple miles away from Mar-a-Lago. So, you know, everybody's jumping on that presidential prestige of your house. So, Mike, I think I need you to remind me when I go to sell my house much later. Don't tell my wife I even mentioned that. Much later in life, we'll say, in case she does hear this. When I do go to sell my house, remind me to get some presidential swag to put in there. I think that's the key right now.
Yeah, the lender is not going to be impressed with that. The lender wants to loan on the house, not the swag.
I just see Mike over there shaking his head. He's like, if that is in the purchase and sale agreement and the appraiser has to include that, we have red flags going everywhere. Mike's mad I even brought that story. On a more serious note, always keeping an eye on some of the current economic issues. So last week, Friday's labor report came out, and I tell you what, it is strong. Unemployment rate fell to 4.4%, which is the lowest level since May of 2001.
Wow.
And even a more broader measure of unemployment declined to 8.6%, and that's the best showing since December of 2007. So one of the things we talk about is what's going on. Why is the labor report important to real estate, Lance? One of the things I tell you is that as that economy increases and is firing on all cylinders and doing better, this will almost certainly ensure a June rate hike for what we're looking at as far as interest rates. So we've talked about that. We don't expect it to be massive, but just kind of tracking those are kind of precursors to what we could see happen in June when we look at that. So potentially rates going up. Earlier this week, feel free to go to KenmoreTeam.com. Check us out. Like us on Instagram or our Kenmore Team Facebook page. We actually did a little profile, put a little chart up on buying now versus waiting till next year to buy? Because we're hearing that a lot in the market, with the hot market and with buyers having to work a little harder to find their house. So it's really interesting when you break down all the numbers and kind of speculate with a little bit of an interest rate hike and a little bit of appreciation of home prices, to take a look at that chart and see what that looks like as far as affordability next year. So we'd be glad to share that with you, and it was a fun exercise to go through. Jumping into today's topic, and one of the things that I'm hearing a lot about, and we always try to take what's happening in the local market, bring that to the show, and then talk about that. And one of the things that we have happening, and it's obviously not a secret out there at all, but population aging. When you look at the United States, and by 2030, 13 years from now, we look at what's happening. Lance Kenmore's still selling real estate. You're listening to me on the radio show, Mike, 2030. But now the population over 65 will have increased from today by 80% as baby boomers start to age out. So the oldest of that group turned 70 this year. So one of the things that's going to happen there is, how do we manage downsizing for that aging population? And we see that a lot in real estate. We deal with it a lot. And I tell you, if not properly planned out, it can be a very, very difficult thing for families to go through, for spouses to deal with, and going through making major, major financial and life decisions. So I wanted to go over a couple points about when you should downsize your house. A lot of times people are looking for a simpler life. They might be retiring. Might be looking for a low maintenance lifestyle. We deal with a lot of clients where the kids have graduated, they've gone off to college, or they've graduated college. And so now the parents are standing around and they're looking at a 4,000 square foot, two-story house, and neither the wife or husband can remember the last time that they went upstairs and what it was for. But at the same time, you're paying taxes on that. You're paying to heat and cool that, and you're paying for the maintenance on it.
And as my wife would say, and you're keeping it clean.
Right. Absolutely. That is an absolute great, great point. And so a lot of times, too, when kids have graduated college and then they've settled in other towns, you start to travel a little bit more. So maybe you were on that acre and you were taking care of that, but now you're gone, you know, 2 weekends a month. And so you're traveling more and you're just not looking to take care of that. So the very first thing that I wrote down was paying attention to some of those early warning signs that you just have too much space. You're maintaining parts of your property that you never use. You're not getting enjoyment out of that anymore, and really taking a look at that. The second point to note that I wrote down was really just looking at your timeline. If you think you're going to be able to make this decision and do this planning over the course of a couple weekends, you're going to be sadly mistaken, because there's a lot that goes into it. And I think most people would agree that when they have time to analyze situations, they'll generally make a more informed and better decision. So starting to talk with your significant other, talking to the vested members that are dealing with the downsizing, the earlier you can start talking and making those plans, the better chance you have at setting a realistic deadline.
And man, is this mirroring about every conversation we have about getting ready for a mortgage, is planning early, talking to professionals early, start working on your plan. Absolutely. I'm agreeing with you 110%, more than even normal.
Absolutely. I love that. So that was my first two. Now the third thing that we come up with is here's where your real estate professional comes into that situation. And that is starting to talk to people that can help you with this situation. There's numerous companies. If you have just a lot of extra stuff, there's a lot of great companies that we can recommend that can do estate sales. And they can professionally organize to help you sell what you're wanting to get rid of. At the same time, you might have questions about timing the market. When's going to be the best time to put my type of home on the market? In particular, I met with a client last week that had an absolute beautiful pool area, outdoor cabana area, and they were starting to get that all cleaned up and ready. And it was one of those times, even with low inventory, it was one of those times where I said to the client, I said, look, in 3 to 4 weeks, like, this is going to be absolutely dialed in, perfect time to sell a house that has all of these attributes. This is, you're not going to maximize your return if you're selling a house like that in January with 2.5 feet of snow. And so part of that thing about planning, instead of waiting until there's a forced move or a medical emergency, or you're just rushed in that situation, having the time to talk to a real estate professional about, one, pricing, and then what we can expect as we look to trying to be able to time that market to make the best decision about downsizing. When we come back from the break, we're going to have, of course, have a pick three, take a look at some new inventory we've put on, and then we're going to talk with Mike Denslow at Home Street about some of the things to consider as you look to downsize. And I'll give you a quick hint. 20 years ago, we saw very, very few people financing when they went to downsize. But in today's market now, we're seeing 1 in 3 people finance that need to downsize. We'll be right back with Mike Denslow at Home Street.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking about when is the right time to downsize. It can be a very, very difficult decision and quite a process to go through. But we're seeing it a lot as our population starts to age a little bit there. Tri-Cities becomes more known as a retirement type community. We're seeing a lot of these type of moves come into play. And some of the factors to consider. But before we jump into all of those factors, one of the things to talk about is what happens on the mortgage side when you're looking into this type of situation, and some of the things to consider before you go to downsize on your mortgage.
Yeah, thanks, Lance. Yeah, there's a lot of different things. I mean, you look at your income that you're going to have when you retire, and you had brought it up right before the break, maybe it's better to buy it a few years before that.
Oh, right, because a lot of times people will, you know, might be a pretty easy process as far as qualifications, or maybe they want to buy their downsize home first and then move into it, where that could be really easy if you have a lot of showing a lot of income, but might be harder if you're now retired and taking less money in.
Well, especially if it's before retirement age.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and you're not taking Social Security yet, and you're not taking any kind of money out of a 401k distribution or any of those type things. So, again, goes back to early conversations with us about what's the plan, and meeting with a financial planner and predicting. And, hey, okay, I'm going to have Social Security. I'm going to have a pension of this amount, and I'm going to have this, and I don't want to buy something until I'm after retirement age, after I retire. That's fine. But just having that conversation in advance to make sure, because, you know, maybe the Social Security isn't what you expected it to be, and now you can't afford that payment, and you want to wait for a 401k distribution until you're later, you know, older. And, Yeah, just the earlier we can have those chats about all those things, the better.
Absolutely. That's good advice in any situation and with what's going on. But yeah, that early planning, especially if you're looking at a downsize, can come up for sure. Another thing that gets asked of me a lot right now with what's going on is it's just one of those basic questions. But people are coming to us and saying, hey, I'm going to go meet with Mike over at Home Street. I do a lot of my banking and stuff online and stuff, but I have some of my statements like, what's Mike going to really need from me in those initial appointments?
Oh, with the retirement, I mean, it depends on pension, Social Security. Everybody gets a Social Security letter at the beginning or at the end or the beginning of the year that says what they're going to be making that year. We need to prove that with a bank statement. Depends on if they have a tax return. That's a loaded question, Lance.
I know.
It's a little different.
And there's probably
everybody.
A lot that's going to come up with that, too.
Yeah. And it's everyone's got a different story. Everyone's got a little different income, pension, or
the most is just documentation, really.
Yeah,
is like what documentation for what you have coming in.
Yeah. End of the year, tax statements, 1099s, all that stuff. It's just, there's just a lot of different things going on. And I was thinking, another thing that I just thought of, I don't want to forget, is when I sell my house, let's say I paid my house off and I've got this $200,000 house that Lance is going to sell, and then I'm going to buy another house that's $250,000. Is it best to put all that $200,000 in, get a small mortgage? And I would say that goes back to your financial planner as well, is maybe it makes sense to consider putting more like 20% down. And then holding back some of that income. And like I keep saying, it just we need to chat about it. I want to give people as many options that maybe they didn't even think of when they're going into these situations. So you know, it's a lot easier to have the money when it's in your account rather than when you put it into the house and then you need it back.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've sent numerous people. We have some great financial planners that we work with, and we'll send them over with those scenarios. Say, hey, you know, I'm selling my house. Lance says I'm going to net this much. I talked to Mike. He says we can get a mortgage for X or we could get a mortgage for Y. You take all of those three pieces to your financial planner, and then the financial planner then looks at the whole picture, uses their expertise to say, yeah, here's what we're going to need to do. Tell Mike we need to do X with this amount of loan. Tell Lance, let's get it sold and get it on, and then they're off to the races. And because of that dynamic of those three people between myself in real estate, Mike in the loans and the mortgage industry, and the financial planners, a lot of times that team of three people is really important in helping folks make that decision.
We're just giving them the tools to make the best decision for their future.
Now, Mike alluded to, I did not even share my notes with him, but he alluded to another factor to be considering in downsizing. Now, I find this to be the case a lot of times, and this can be shocking to people. And so I wanted to bring it up because what happens a lot of times is downsizing doesn't necessarily mean less money overall. What happens is we run into these situations a lot where someone has a, say they have a 3,000 square foot home that they bought 25 years ago. They raised their family in it. They maintained it pretty well, but didn't do everything new, never did kind of a major remodel. So we're selling that 3,000 square foot two-story home, and let's say the price comes in on that at $305, you know, $100 a square foot, older home, needs a little work done at $305. Now, that couple is downsizing from a 3,000 square foot two-story home to a brand new one-story 1,800 to 2,000 square foot smaller lot, but brand new low maintenance type home, and when we show them the prices, that new home is, even though it's a downsize for them, is $335,000. And sometimes, the you know, if they're not in the market and don't know the numbers, they'll look at me and they'll say, Lance, that's not what we thought we were downsizing. I thought we were going to sell this at 305 and buy 200. But once again, it's a factor then. It says, okay, if the overall factor is, you know, reducing, you know, using that equity somewhere else or traveling with that equity, then we might look at that. But if the factor is brand new, no maintenance, a lot of times those brand new construction homes are smaller, but actually the same price or a little bit more. And so that's one of the reasons I tell people to start early, because they might be shocked. And sometimes that is a huge, huge mental issue for people to get over, that they're getting a smaller house that's costing more money. And they started out thinking they were downsizing. Now, in the end, what happens, though, is you have energy savings. And so you'll gain some efficiencies. You might not be taking care of as big of a yard. So there might be $400 to $500 in monthly costs that are actually less than you were paying in the big house. It's just initially that downsize can be a little bit of a shock, because the purchase price could potentially be more. And so that's another big, big thing that when Mike mentioned that I ran into, because I think a lot of times people assume they'll have a lot of extra cash left over, or they won't need a loan at all. But for what they really want in their mind, it lines up to where they have to pay a little bit more. So that's a big one. The last point that I wrote down on this subject, it's kind of a summation of everything we talked about, but I see it too often to where we're having to make these decisions under large amounts of stress. Maybe it was a medical situation. Maybe a spouse had passed away. But by not talking about through these issues or being prepared for it, it can make it more difficult. And many times the client ends up feeling like they're either making the wrong decision or they're unsure about the process. So if you can have somewhat of an advanced plan that is known to those around you, and potentially to kids that are going to be helping you with that situation or taking care of you. You know, if someone gets sick and they've never talked about this or never thought, hey, in 10 years, what do you want things to look like? Well, what happens then, you might get two or three kids coming in from out of town, not knowing the area, and then they're having to make a difficult decision for you versus knowing what you are wanting to do. So there's my realtor part-time counseling advice. Yeah, so, and getting with an estate planner and an attorney that does this all the time can really help all the legal issues that come along with it go really, really smoothly. Now, I promised some new inventory, because we have some and we have a lot coming up. Our listing coordinator, photographer, they are busy right now. Number one, 2663 Stone Creek Drive out in Horn Rapids. This is a new listing, 3-bedroom, 2-bath, beautiful stucco rambler with golf course views, just over 2,000 square feet, polished concrete floors. Beautiful. I normally see work like this done down in some of the Arizona and California homes, but the polished concrete floors through the main living area and hallways are fantastic. 10-foot ceilings, open layout, formal dining area, gorgeous fireplace and built-ins in the living room. This is a great, great home out in Horn Rapids, coming in at $389,900. Fantastic home. And maybe appropriate for someone wanting to downsize, Mike, to that golf course community. So there we go. Pick number two over in Pasco, 7113 West Pearl. This is a 4-bedroom, 3 three bath with a bonus room on almost an acre in West Pasco, 3,500 square feet. Great, beautiful front porch, meticulous attention to details on this house. You've got hardwood floors, you've got wood fireplace, custom built-ins in the office. Gorgeous, gorgeous Corian countertops, stainless steel appliances in the kitchen. This house is fully, fully custom on an acre in West Pasco. That's coming in at $490,000. Very, very nice property. And then pick number three, we don't see too many of these, but we have a fantastic right now, just hit the market, bank-owned in South Richland. So this is 1186 Tomic, and this is over in South Richland. Three-bedroom, three-bath with a den and a bonus room. This house is 2,353 square feet. Just brand new paint in the interior, new carpet throughout. They went in and made a ton of repairs to this property. Kitchen opens up to the family room. There's an attached den, laundry room, and half bath on the main level. Huge master suite upstairs. This is also in, and a lot of people seek this out, great home, and this is in the White Bluffs School District also. So right, very, very near White Bluffs Elementary School there in South Richland. And that's priced at $289,900. So very hard to get into South Richland at that price point for that big of a home. Great new inventory coming online. If you have any more questions about when the appropriate time is to downsize, you're thinking about doing this in a year or two, you want to maybe get an evaluation on your property or talk over some scenarios, feel free to go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot us a message. We'd be glad to help out. At looking at the financing end of things, Mike, how can people get a hold of you at Home Street?
Office line is 572-3650.
And we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.